With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Boom. There it is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what it is. It's Sunday night. That means it's the Leafs weekender. There's no Clark Monroe, but me and D434 still gotta go. And what's going on, Dylan? How's your night treating you?
It is a wonderful night. Hit the gym, hit the arm day. We're pumped. We are ready to roll. It feels like it's been forever since I talked. So looking forward to hopping back on the weekender.
Well, I'm always happy that you're here, my friend, and it just seems like some reason timing don't work out. But guess what? Timing works out perfectly, just like getting some beautiful pucking glasses in the mail. Everything is perfectly delicious. Now, something that is not delicious, though, my friends, is the injury to Joseph Woll. Obviously, this was a play that he just didn't get his foot positioned right, apparently, and he has a high ankle sprain. Anywhere between 4 to 6 weeks. You see Dr. Graywall, who was on this show with us, by the way, talking about it over on Twitter, saying, you know, this is going to be a thing. You know, it depends on his pain threshold and when he can get back onto the ice and when he can start doing things. Some guys take a little longer. Hello, Sidney Crosby. He definitely had a long layoff with his high ankle sprain. So we're hoping the shorter end of the 4 to 6 weeks, but we shall see. What is going to be your thoughts on this, my friend? I know you watched Woll go down and said, man, the brick wall has fallen.
Yeah. It sucks. Obviously, we expected some high expectations out of him this year. He hopped into the role nicely this year. But honestly, I don't think it could have happened at a better time. And better time, I mean, like, right now, you see him in the press box, and he's surrounded by all of the dads, and he's not alone up there, which I think is an added bonus to, you know, kind of start the injury. I think on Twitter, there was a lot of people trying to guess what he was trying to say to his father in the press box there. But I think we'll come back from this, and he'll be a stronger brick after this injury.
The injury is really just another brick in the wall of the story he's building for the Maple Leafs. Let's punt it like that. But the Leafs themselves, 2-0 through that week, did get to see a little bit of Jones in the Ottawa game. But hey, here's something, ladies and gentlemen, that a lot of people, a lot of media have been talking about: the Maple Leafs and their regulation wins. Well, they reeled off two regulation wins and one on Saturday night. They really put a stamp on. It was something I was talking last week with Clark about this team putting their foot on a neck and just making sure they kept it that way. And they darn well did. They didn't get fancy. They made sure the puck went in the net. Noah Gregor on that fourth goal. They were not allowing any mo to happen for Nashville. And in the Ottawa game, we all know Ottawa tried to make it close. The Leafs did what they needed to do. They held on. They got the victory. Jones stopping 9 of 10 shots, not too shabby for a guy who was cold for pretty much 40, maybe 50, I think it's 53 minutes of the night sitting on the bench coming in relief. So, hey, I'm fired up for it, man. What are your takeaways of this week, Mr. D434?
I think also this injury is an added bonus because if they give Jones a chance, we can see what he can do. And I know you probably want three goalies down the stretch, but it's also a chance that, you know, if somebody comes in with an offer at trade deadline and it's too good to decline, then obviously you take that opportunity. I mean, Ottawa really, really tried to get the squeeze the tying goal in there with them turning off the lights, but hey, you couldn't do much apparently. Sucks about the injury. Matthews was hot this week, which was good. He laid it all out there on the ice, no pun intended, and it was exciting to actually watch the Saturday game, and I think Sammy did a great job Saturday, all things considering, and I think it was a very good team effort Saturday. What were your thoughts on the games?
Ottawa game was the Battle of Ontario, man. Going back and forth.
Was there any fights? I didn't watch that game.
There was, I think Domi tussled. But I look at it like this, and I say one thing. I want to really get this out there and say the Leafs on Saturday night, and even in the Ottawa game somewhat, they were able to roll four lines. And they were able to roll a guy named Ryan Reeves that everybody has kind of run off this team. And he really actually showed his worth, especially in the Saturday game, throwing hits, doing what he needs to do for this squad, but also working the cycle game. Also had a couple good tips that led to good shots on goal. He really helped that fourth line, you know, when they needed to get down low and do what they needed to do, plus threw a couple of big hits. And we will talk about the McCabe hit in a couple moments here. I did reach out to our buddy Dave Jackson about the instigator rule and stuff, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But for me, I look at the Saturday game and I say, hey, Saturday game, perfect. Sonar did what he needed to do. The shot load wasn't too high, but the chances that he had to turn away, he did. There were a few plays that were helter-skelter for him where it looked like he lost his post and didn't know where he needed to be. Just misdirection on pucks and stuff like that could happen to any goaltender. I think they're trying to rebuild the confidence, and the only way you can do that is throwing a guy into more situations, which I do think we will see. But for me, loving it, man. Loving the fact we got two regulation wins. Loving the fact that we're getting depth scoring. We had all line score in Ottawa. We had everybody in and on it again against the Nashville Predators. We had Matthew scoring too. You had David Camp in there. Noah Gregor with the empty net. So the only line that didn't score, of course, was the second line. But they were buzzing. They had chances. So it's not like they were without an opportunity to add to the Maple Leafs lead. So I'm loving what I'm seeing throughout the lineup. Don't go ahead.
Did you hear the story about McDonough was giving it to, I think, Gregor, and Reeves came up behind him, gave him a little shove. He turned around, looked at Reeves, and didn't want anything of it.
Didn't want a piece of it at all.
No, I was like, oh, damn. Some people do actually respect the hell out of Reeves.
Oh, yeah. When he turned around, looked at him, he was like, no, I'm good. No, I'm good. I'm good. Let's talk about another good thing here. John Tavares, 2 points away from 1,000 on his career. And what a fairy tale moment it would be to get that in New York against the Islanders tomorrow night. Absolutely pumped up for this, buddy. I want to see this happen. I want to see him do it against them, and then them have to stop the game and really kind of celebrate it for a moment, because it will be celebrated. Do not get me wrong. They will say something. They have to. Yep. If they don't, then they are just bitter old Bettys who need to just move on with their snaky selves and just slink themselves back out of the arena at the end of the game, because something needs to be done. 1,000 points. He used to be your captain. Celebrate the man. Enough time has gone by, Islanders fans. Stop crying over spilled Tavares.
I don't know if where it was from, but I saw a video that surfaced recently of some guy just giving it to John Tavares.
That short, scrumpy looking guy. And yeah. He's just hewing at him at the penalty box. Yeah.
He's just like, you're a fucking snake, man. I was just like, oh my God.
A lot of people have clipped that, my friend. Actually, the end of it where he's like bright red and said, this guy's reaction when John Tavares scores the 1,000th point against the Islanders. It's going to be perfect. Let's talk about the week that will be for the Leafs. Busy schedule this week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Lots of games for the Maple Leafs. We got the Islanders, the Rangers, the Blue Jackets, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm saying the week is going to be a 3-1 week for the Maple Leafs. And I say the game that will give them trouble, and a lot of people are going to raise their eyebrows here, is Columbus. I think it's going to be a problem. The Leafs have an issue with playing down to teams that are struggling. They really match the same momentum and usually get taken over by teams like that. And for me, I think that's going to be the troublesome game. But I see a battle against the Islanders. I see a tight game against the Rangers. And I see them just putting the Dubis stomp on the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I'm going to love it. But what is your prediction for the week, my friend, with the four games at hand?
Nice pun there. I think we're going to go 2-1-1. I think we're going to have an overtime loss against the Rangers. The Rangers are hot. And, you know, we've had some overtime troubles as of late. So I'll say 2-1-1 with the obviously the tight game with the Rangers. And then, yeah, probably a loss to Columbus Blue Jackets. But, hey, their young squad is playing very, very filthy as of late. I don't know if you saw Fantilli's little play there the other night, but my goodness, does that kid have hands.
Growing into himself, man. Growing into himself. All right, 2-1-1 for Dilly, and I'm going 3-1 for myself for this week. So we'll see what happened with the records. But I want to talk about Matthew Knies. I don't feel like he's getting enough love, especially being in his first full season with the Maple Leafs. He threw a couple hits in Ottawa, and then Saturday night was like, I liked how that felt, and threw a couple more big hits and laid some guys on their ass. And I love seeing it. And he's not afraid to do it. And when he did it, Matthews did it. And then Matthews came up with the puck, which was great because that's what the Maple Leafs need. They need to understand what is going through these guys' heads when they get separated from the puck by a big physical body, which Matthews and Knies are both those type of guys. But also, his drive to the net on Saturday night, just put the shoulder down, went right across the crease, made a couple moves, just missed by a fraction. Could have scored a beautiful goal, but this guy is growing in front of our eyes and just showing us that, hey, he'll dig for the puck. He'll do the work. He'll get it done. But he'll also be a guy that can be defensively responsible and lay the body. What are you thinking of Knizey so far, buddy?
I don't think the offensive numbers really speak for his overall game. He does a lot. Like we've said before, he's a true power forward. And honestly, that's such a gift at this moment. And for him to be playing at the amount he's playing, obviously, it's a bargain for one. But I think he brings a lot to the top line. And I think if you look at, you know, the top two lines, Bertuzzi, he is similar to Matthew Knies, but they also have a lot of differences. And Matthew Knies has a shot, but he just has this will to never, ever give up. And I saw last night, I think it was guys were changing or something, and he got stuck on the close side boards, and there was four Nashville guys on him that were battling for the puck with him. And I'm just like, how are you manhandling almost four guys here? There's no issues with it. Like, his board play, A++, and his net front presence is second to none.
Here's the scary thing, okay? He's still growing into what he is.
I was just going to say it. Truly think he's not done growing, for one.
No. He's still figuring out his size and his body and his frame. And like I said, from the Ottawa game to the Nashville game, He liked the fact that he could set some guys down on their bottoms, and he did it again Saturday night. Had no qualms with it. He loves to stick battle. He loves to win battles and strip guys of the puck. This guy right here really does get my my juices flowing.
Like, I don't mean to compare, but I think Montreal fans hope that Slafkovský is half the man that Knies is.
I'm not even going to say that, because you know what? I've got a thought going with Slafkovský that he's going the MacKinnon route. It's going to take him some time to figure out his body and really get rolling. But when he does, I do think that he is going to be a player that is going to be a bona fide star for the Montreal Canadiens. So, Habs fans, there's your goodwill gesture of the day from a Maple Leaf fan. I think Slav will still be something. But speaking of goodwill gestures, Mr. D434, our friends at the Hockey Podcast Network, well, they partnered up with DraftKings, and they got a goodwill gesture for you. Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now. Use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly. Bonus bets for betting $5 on hockey. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets set to expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for your problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccp.org. Please play responsible on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire again 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights reserved. So check out our friends over at DraftKings. Use the promo code THPN. It's right there on your screen. It'll be in the episode synopsis or whatever you want to call it. It'll be there for you. But something I want to call is the Leafs' depth. Hello, depth. You're doing well. Lagesson, Benoit, Lajoie, all these guys are looking pretty darn stellar for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it's good because that means they do not have to rush a trade. But it's also showing you that they are developing talent. They're bringing in guys that they think are either reclamation projects or lower-end players and hoping to turn them around. And Lagesson, looking good. Physical. Benoit, definitely stepping up and looking good. Lajoie, not too bad. Not to mention, you still have guys who are cooking like Topi Nemola down on the Marley farm. So I'm loving it, buddy. Speaking of depth as well, not just the defense, but how about the depth scoring of the Maple Leafs? David Kampf giving Austin Matthews a run for his money last night with that beautiful goal. By the way, back-to-back goals for Mr. Kampf. We're going camping yet again. He's starting to heat up and turn it on, which is great, and all the lines seem to have a little chemistry. But the depth is finally there for the Maple Leafs, and that makes me excited, Dilly. What are you thinking about the depth on D and just the depth scoring in general?
Depth on D is a very added bonus at a struggling point in the season. We've hit a road stop where we've had one of too many injuries. Seeing guys that come up and taking the opportunity to, you know, prove to us that we are developing properly obviously means a lot, but it also means that other teams cannot leverage their players in a trade, i.e. Calgary. I know that they probably want every last penny from us, and obviously there's the owner that doesn't want to trade with Tree Living, but...
Well, Tree Living poo-pooed that, though. He said there's no bad blood, there's no issues, and no problems. So he came out and said that, so...
Of course, he has to, I think, in my eyes. But anyways... Depth scoring, I want to shout out the third line, because the third line has some massive chemistry that we have been looking for a very long time. I think the identity of the third line has always kind of been speedy in a sense. I know that there's been some bigger guys that have like like slotted in there on the third line, but you know the likes of Mikheyev and Kerfoot and Kalle Yarncroke, obviously. But those guys all have one thing in common, and that's speed. These three, Domi, Kalle Yarncroke, and Robertson,
Nick Robertson,
they have just meshed so well with each other, and I think it speaks volume to, you know, the lineup itself, and obviously what I think each of these guys mean to each other. They know how each other play, and they can honestly break down other teams with their speed and their defense with the speed. So I wanted to shout them out because they have been working really, really hard, obviously, and they've been doing a great job.
No, they definitely have, and I really like the chemistry that they've formed, and it's something that we have needed. And it's good to see Nick Robertson being an NHL regular and getting opportunities on different shifts and things like that as well, especially PP number two, and Domi scoring that first goal as well, you know, against Boston. Beautiful monkey out the back, so to speak. But yeah, I love the identity there, my friend, for sure.
Yeah.
So one thing that I wanted to bring up, a lot of people were upset last night about the Sherwood thing with McCabe and the hit. So I reached out to our friend, Mr. Dave Jackson, the ESPN NHL rules analyst on a lot of their broadcasts. They defer to him when things happen. So I reached out and said, hey, what's the deal here? The Leafs seem to be getting a lot of instigator penalties when they chase after guys, after their guy gets run, and then said thing happens, Leafs lay a big hit, and their guy gets chased down, no instigator. So in the result of last night, McCabe had his gloves off before Sherwood did and was already swinging on Sherwood before him, from what Dave Jackson says. I haven't gone back and watched the tape, but I believe Dave because this is what he does. He looks at things and breaks it down. He also said the other thing that can happen is a hit can be thrown. So let's just, there was one where the Leafs, I believe it was, I want to say Domi or someone grabbed, Giordano got the instigator not too long ago, was hot under the collar about a hit, skated down the ice, grabbed the guy and just filled him in. So if there is one, willingness between both players to fight, that can happen. If one player has their gloves off faster than the other, a la McCabe last night, there is going to be no instigator because he's ready to fight. Also, if said player goes to fight a guy or whatever and it gives them the opportunity to get ready to fight, there's no instigator because both players are agreeing to it. The instigator is in there, like Mark Giordano when he jumped Buddy and started filling him in right away. And he was the aggressor to the situation.
Similar to the Detroit and Ottawa thing, probably.
Yes. And the other thing, too, here, you also have the ability for the ref to say, what are they doing the fight for? And some ref, there is ref discretion on instigators being called as well. If there is a dirty hit and someone is atoning for something that is just gross, a goalie getting run, a guy getting filled from behind, et cetera, et cetera. You can go down the list of things that would fill into that category. The ref may not decide to call it because he says, hey, that's goddamn well greasy and you deserve to get caved in a little bit here. So, you know, he's not thinking that way, but he's just basically saying the instigator doesn't apply here because there should be someone answering for what just happened. Yeah. As much as we're going to dole out a penalty, you probably want to dole out some of your own justice. So I wanted to get that out there because it was great of Dave. He gave me a long-winded answer. I do have to send him a couple more examples, and he will look into those and see. But he always gets back to me and breaks down the things that I'm asking about. So shout out to Dave Jackson, man. He's always working for the people, always working around and having a great time. So the one that we saw today, Gabranson gets hit from behind. Dangerous hit, by the way. Only a two-minute minor, which blows my freaking mind. If they called this right, there would be no issue that went on afterwards where Gabranson just lost it, seen red, snapped, whatever you want to call it, had a psychotic break.
The wire crossed.
Yeah, he just grabbed him, threw him to the ice, and started filling him in. And Cousins, I got to tell you, man, I've seen you do these things against the Leafs and no one really respond to it. Bunting did a little bit last year. You're a rat, dude. You are. and someone I always think rats have their day. Marchand hasn't gotten this done to him yet, but that's what happened. A rat got his day. He got filled in by Gubbs, and he just went nuts. Now, he's probably going to get suspended for what he did.
Which we'll one? See.
What's that?
Both of them?
No, just Gabranson.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah, right, hearing tomorrow. Didn't call the major. The NHL is probably not going to look at it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that sucks.
You know, I watched this, and so I watched the first clip, and you are a special kind of individual, and I am talking directly to Nick Cousins, and I really don't care if he hears this or not, but you clearly saw the position that he was in, and you chose to hit him from behind. You know, growing up in Canada here, we have this little symbol at the back of our jersey that says, stop, don't hit this individual. But you just didn't care. You didn't give a flying fuck. Like, I think Florida has this weird ass identity to just be a bunch of rats. Bennett did it last year in the playoffs. Cousins also did it last year in the playoffs. Matthew Tkachuk does it. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Oh. You keep going, wrap up. I just got to step.
Yeah. But afterwards, when you're confronted with the situation of what you did, you decide to be a coward and turtle to the ground. You are the definition of a rat, definition of a coward. And I just have zero respect for anybody that does that in the game of hockey. Don't understand why, you know, you didn't take action for your responsibilities. In my eyes, if I did that, I shouldn't be doing that. I would take responsibility, take the fight as what it was, and go on and have some respect. And, I would expect a fight to happen. So I got pretty upset with it. It is a terrible thing to do. I know that hockey happens fast, but man, you gotta take actions. You gotta take actions from your own actions. Now I know James probably wants me to wrap this up. I don't know if he's coming back. So, late today, there was a leak about Jordan Tutu's book at what had occurred to the end of his career. Now I have the book quotations here. I don't know what page this is on. I don't know where it's from or anything. But here on Twitter, shout out to Mike Comito. He tweeted this out. When I wasn't claimed by anyone, I went to talk to Stan. Hey, look, I said, I did you guys a favor by signing because you were stuck as far as signing any veteran guy. Now, it's your turn to return the favor. I'm not going down to Rockford, their affiliate, AHL affiliate. My wife's pregnant. She's due in February. I'm not moving back and forth with my daughter and my wife. Put me on long-term injured reserve and do whatever you have to in order to make it look right, because I am not going to play in Rockford. End of story. My shoulder really had been bugging me quite a bit. Stan said that get me an MRI on the shoulder and we'll use that as our out. And so that's what happened. I packed my bags and went down to Rockford for one pregame skate just to say that I was there and that I wasn't ready to play health-wise. Then I went on long-term injured reserve and never heard from anybody in the organization for the rest of the year. Now, this came out in Jordan Tutu's book. Obviously, it's probably a biography of his story in the NHL. But James, I see you're back. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it just opens a whole can of worms. And I think the NHL is going to be very upset about this getting out and, you know, this story being published, because it really shows that if a guy isn't truly injured, then maybe you can bury him. You can put him where he is using a shoulder injury to get put on LTIR. I mean, he said right there, I'm not going to Rockford. You either keep me in the NHL or put me on LTIR. Those are your choices.
So that would have been Nashville at the time, or is that
I'm thinking Chicago, man. Chicago and Rockford were the two teams.
Rockford. So I thought Chicago, it was
Blackhawks yet again. Greasy Orgy.
Yeah, Stan makes sense. Never mind. That makes sense.
Yeah, Stan Bowman, I do believe it is. But I'm just saying, man, like to think these things, to be so naive that these things don't happen. That teams don't claim certain players from certain teams on the waiver wire, that trades or things aren't poo-pooed because of, you know, relationships, to think that refs don't have vendettas on teams, and to think that teams don't place players. And we're Leaf fans. We live it. John Klingberg, Matt Murray, Jake Muzzin, Robida Island, come on down with a Joffrey Lupul on top. I'm just saying teams find a way if they need to. And people are like, well, you think any self-respecting player would just stop playing hockey for a year just to help a team?
Yes.
Here's an example right here. There are underlying circumstances that we don't know about. And if a player doesn't like the opportunity presented to them, what are they going to do? He gave them an ultimatum and they said, hey, we'll find a way to make it work. Go and say your shoulder thing's bothering you. We'll get an MRI and slap it on paper that's what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I want to see how this unfolds because you know the Chicklets boys and a whole bunch of other people are going to get a hold of this and really run with this story and really pump it up and blow it up. But to think that this stuff doesn't happen, that there's not pettiness or there's not, you know, little interactions or transactions, shall we say, that put players in certain spots, don't happen. It does. It does. And this one I can't wait to see because it's going to be blowing up and there's no way Tutu can come out and say, oh, I was misquoted. It's your book.
Yeah.
You said this.
You wrote it.
You told the story. And you okayed this in the edits and everything like that. As we spoke with Mike Comito a bunch of times about making these books and how intricate it is about the things that go into these books and the thoughts and the checking and fact-checking, etc. Like
four times, maybe sometimes six times that you check the book.
So for me, I say this one will be interesting. It's going to be a can of worms. Another mark on the Blackhawks organization.
It's just a joke at this point. Like, Chicago-wise. But, I mean, yes, we are Toronto fans. I think we're pretty used to the LTIR rules. And I'm pretty sure everybody knows that it just happens here in Toronto. And with a tight cap, I understand it more. But whatever was going on back then, and I actually respect Jordan Tutu for actually like being like, no, I'm not moving back. I'm not going back and forth because my wife is pregnant and I have a daughter here. Like, I'm not going back and forth to a place where, you know, oh, you guys are going to call me back up in a month or so and I have to come back up. Like, he wants to stay grounded and make sure that his wife and kids are taken care of. So I respect him actually a lot on that.
No, definitely. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I get where he's coming from. But I mean, again, for an organization to kind of flub something, so to speak.
Yeah.
But hey, again, it just shines a light on the things that we don't know, but we know. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows there's some shenanigans that happen with things, but not really shenanigans that happen with things. Yeah. So, anyways, I want to see where this one goes. It's going to be something big. I'm looking forward to this week where the Leafs can pick up some more regulation wins. And I say it like that because if any other team was picking up points with half of their damn defense core out, we'd all be saying, what a team. That team's really banded together. They're really grinding it out. They're gutting out these wins and getting those points. But when it comes to the Maple Leafs, it's, do you know they only had five regulation wins going into this week? Yeah. And now they have seven? Did you know that?
Yeah.
You know what matters to me? 2 points and a win in the W and the win column. That's where it needs to be, whether it's overtime, shootout, I don't care. It's 2 points in the hip pocket. Keep it rolling because you know what game it is? It's the Maple Leafs game with everybody saying the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah! Woo! And ladies and gentlemen, that right there is the Maple Leafs Weekender by Offside Hockey Talk. I'm happy to have my buddy Dylan back in the airwaves. He'll be back next Sunday again. But Leafs Nation, keep it classy. Don't pull an Ohtani. Don't listen to Morosi. And have yourself a good one, because this right here, you can track this plane anytime you want. We're always going to land with more Leafs thoughts. It's Offside Hockey Talk, where the Maple Leafs and the Leafs come to talk.